Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, that's right. Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and folks, we are now less than 24 hours away from the big game. That's right. I don't care what the records are. I don't care what each respective fan base, what you guys feel about these two programs right now. As far as wins and losses are concerned, as far as a season outlook is concerned, at the end of the day, when these two teams match up, Michigan State and Michigan, records go out the window and emotion takes over, right? It's one of the greatest rivalries in all of college sports, and Michigan State and Michigan will go at it tomorrow afternoon at the Big House. Huge, huge game. I know Michigan State didn't look good in that first game against Rutgers, just absolutely getting shellacked against Greg Schiano's squad. And Michigan looked like a totally different team, right, in comparison to Michigan State. Quite the contrast when you compare Michigan's first game to Michigan State's first game as Michigan dealt P.J. Fleck in Minnesota a good old-fashioned tail-whooping. And that is the reason why now when you look at all of the previews, when you read all the previews out there, that's the reason why Michigan is expected to absolutely roll in this game tomorrow afternoon. And by the way, that game will be on Fox. That's Fox's big noon kickoff game with Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. Joel Klatt is a notorious Jim Harbaugh lover. So that broadcast should be very interesting tomorrow. But what I want to do, I don't want to dive into our quick hit headliners. You guys know I usually don't. You know, on game day eve, that Current Sports show, I usually throw out the regular schedule of rolling our Current Sports quick hit headliners and, you know, and then going into the game preview. And what I do is just go right into it. So that's what I'm going to do today. And it's been a great week here on Current Sports. If you tuned in to yesterday's Current Sports, you know, it was Thursday. And each and every Thursday on Current Sports, what we like to do is just hop into our Current Sports time machine and take a look at a few sports events that occurred on that Thursday for Throwback Thursday. And what I've been doing, you know, due to COVID, you know, the year of COVID that is 2020, is every once in a while going back and actually rolling in a Current Sports show from the past. So what I did yesterday, you know, seeing as though it is rivalry week, Michigan State versus Michigan, I turned back the clock to a show that we did just 2 years ago. Alec Rio, Jack Kerwin, and also Jason Fromer, Justin Fromer was a part of the show as well. And, you know, it was during rivalry week that year. And we had some fun talking some trash about Michigan. Of course, we all are. They at the time were Michigan State students, now Michigan State alum, which is pretty crazy to say. We embrace the trash talk that is Michigan State and Michigan this week. And we also played a segment, speaking of trash talk, we played a trash talk segment, one of our most memorable segments on current sports, especially when you discuss rivalry week. Otis Wiley and Alan Gant, we invited those two former college football players now and also then as well to be a part of the show, and they just went at it. You know, Otis Wiley is a former, they're both defensive players, former defensive players for both Michigan State and Michigan. Otis Wiley for Michigan State, playing under Coach Mark D'Antonio, and Alan Gant, who played under head coach Brady Hoke back in the day. So we had them both on the airwaves, and we had, I think it was either, I want to say three rounds. We had three rounds of trash talk, and they just went at it. Of course, FCC compliant trash talk, and they went at it. But that's what this week is all about, folks. Now I want to get to the nitty gritty now, and actually preview this game, because there are a few things out there, because again, like I said, I mean, right now, I believe the line has shifted just a bit. I believe it opened around, 24 is what I was seeing from a lot of sports books out there. And right now, as I look at the current game lines, and I'm checking out Bovada right now, and it's still at 24. So that line hasn't moved. Michigan is a 24-point favorite to beat Michigan State at home in A Square tomorrow. And, you know, you look at that line, and that is such a massive line. And much of that has to do with the fact that, again, as I stated, when you look at how both of these teams looked to open up the Big Ten season, there is a huge, huge difference. Michigan State struggled. And that's being kind. Michigan State really stunk up the place at Spartan Stadium to open up that game against a team that historically has been in the Big Ten basement for a long, long time in Rutgers. Now, time will tell if Rutgers truly is a great team as we move along the Big Ten year. But a lot of people are viewing that game and saying, whoa, 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 whoa. This is Rutgers, Michigan State. You are supposed to mollywop Rutgers. And again, time will tell if this is a truly great team in Rutgers, and if Greg Schiano has come in and really put the wheels back on the track, and this is a different year for them. But you get blown out the way you did against Rutgers, and there aren't too many people out there who are going to look at that loss and say, well, that's a quality loss. That's a really good team. There aren't really nobody saying that. And Michigan State didn't do itself any favors. I mean, look, if you turn the ball over as much as Michigan State did against Rutgers, any team is going to beat you. You cannot turn the ball over against any team seven times, and expect to somehow win that game. It's just impossible. Impossible. That was a 38-27 win in favor of Rutgers. And, you know, you look at, again, the seven turnovers just really kill you. You know, Rutgers had three, but seven, I mean, 38, you look at that, 38 of those points, I mean, 20 of those 38 points were scored by Michigan State. Let's just say that, because you turned the ball over seven times. And another thing is, you know, that really stands out when you look at the team stats. The rush yards, you know, Rutgers was able to rush for over 100 yards in that game. Michigan State had a total of 50 yards on the ground. 50 yards on the ground. And that is a major concern. You know, this offensive line, let's just keep it real. They aren't great. You know, especially the interior three, just not a great bunch. they could get no push that would allow anybody in the backfield to do some kind of work, whether it was Jordan Simmons or whether it was Elijah Collins, Connor Hayward. The leading rusher of the game was Jordan Simmons. He had a total of 43 yards on the ground. Then you had Connor Hayward, who had 18, and Elijah Collins had 3. Then you had, others who ran the ball in that game were Brandon Wright, Rocky Lombardi, Jaden Reed. They were all in the red. Brandon Wright, negative 2 yards on the ground. Rocky Lombardi, negative 4. Jaden Reed, negative 8. So if you can't run the ball against Michigan, you are going to lose. Simple as that. I look at that game in week one, and then I compare it to what we saw against Michigan, against Minnesota, and I say to myself, I don't see anything that's going to give me hope that Michigan State's offensive line can get it together in week two, because I went back and looked at, the first half of that game. And I struggled to find one play where Michigan State got great push from the offensive line and opened up something for that rush attack, which is why you end up with 50 yards. If you do not run the ball against Michigan and at least give me just nip at 70 or 80, you will lose. So that's a major concern. And not to mention, we saw some just completely blown blocking assignments from Michigan State against Rutgers. I mean, just crimes, folks, where you got to pick up. And again, I know it's a different year. It's a year of COVID. And I'm going to continue to say this throughout the Big Ten season as well. Mel Tucker, this is his first season. With everything that he's gone through and trying to prepare his team, you can't fault him, at least not right now, at least not in this first season. I'll go as far as to say that. This first season, he gets a mulligan. Like, I think every coach in the Big Ten, every coach in college football right now gets a mulligan because of how different this year is. And especially for the Big Ten, because you say you're not going to play, then you say you're going to play, and then don't get me started on that whole riff. But I think, and Mel Tucker has said this. He said this week in his press conference, and you hear this kind of coach speak a lot. You've heard this a lot. A lot of coaches say this, but you see the biggest improvement of your team from week one to week two. Because in week one, you see, okay, we got some live game action now. What do we need to work on? All right, we obviously have a lot of things to work on. If you're Michigan State, how do we go about trying to plug the holes in the boat? And there's a lot of holes in this Michigan State boat right now. But for me, it starts with the offensive line, opening up things for that rush attack. And also, of course, Rocky Lombardi. I mean, that's the most important position on the football field, quarterback. And look, Rocky Lombardi wasn't bad. I mean, we're talking about, 70% of his throws being completed? 31 of 43 for 319, 3 touchdowns, and yeah, there were the 2 picks as well. I mean, that was a lot of that miscommunication between him and his receivers, and hopefully, again, that's week one. Hopefully you are shoring that up throughout practice this week. 2 picks weren't great, but hey, over 70% throwing the football for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns for Rocky Lombardi. I'll take that, because we all know when Rocky Lombardi took over for Brian Lewerke during his injury situation, Rocky Lombardi didn't show you much when it came to his arm. But I'm still not comfortable in saying that, again, that's only one game against Rutgers. If you don't have a rush attack, Spartan fans, let's just keep it all the way 1,000. You don't feel comfortable with Rocky Lombardi's arm going out there and trying to win you the game. Okay? Just don't. Now, when you look at those, you know, 300 and, you know, 300 plus yards that Rocky Lombardi threw to, I must say, I think that Jay Johnson and the offensive coaching staff did a good job in playing to Rocky's strengths. You know, allowing Rocky, you know, to have a few dink and dunks here and there where he allows his receivers to make plays in the open field. Or, you know, getting Rocky out the pocket to scramble a little bit. Even though, again, he had, you know, negative 4 yards on the ground. But you get what I'm saying. They played to Rocky's strengths, which is his mobility and, you know, short throws. Nothing real deep down the field. But if you're going to, you know, if you're going to beat Michigan, and again, I don't, you know, that, if I was a betting man, that 24-point spread, I'm not totally buying it. I'm not. You know, I want to give Michigan State fans some hope out there because it's all gloom and doom approaching this game right now. I think that when you talk about this rivalry this year, there are a lot of Michigan State fans that aren't embracing it just because you think that you're going to get shellacked. But I'm here to tell you, I think this game is going to be closer than a lot of people believe. Because I just first off, I got a gut feeling that Mel Tucker, he is, you know, he doesn't want to begin his tenure this way, right? You know, a blowout loss against Rutgers and then a blowout loss against Michigan. He's going to make sure his troops make this thing closer. I just got a feeling there. Mel's pride is stepping in here, and he is drilling his guys, and they are making sure that they understand how big this week is. And they're going to shore up some things. How well and how consistent they do that throughout the entire game, that is going to be the key. But there are some things that you can harp on here from Michigan State, some little things that could make a difference. Now, I'm not totally confident in the rushing attack. That's one thing I don't think that's going to be a bugaboo the entire year. The running attack is going to be a problem for Michigan State throughout the season, and it's going to make it hard to win games. But when it comes to Michigan is let's pump the brakes on Michigan right now. So many people are hyped up. Did you see what they did against Minnesota? They routed the Golden Gophers. Did you look at the numbers, Al? 481 total yards, put up 49 points against P.J. Fleck. Michigan gashed Minnesota, Al. Averaging 8.3 yards per rush, 15 yards per completion. Look, no doubt, I hear you, Michigan fans. I hear you loud and clear. Now, when you put up those kind of numbers against P.J. Fleck, who I think is a really good coach, that's impressive. But I also have to take into account that Minnesota was not at full strength. I mean, did people, not a lot of people are bringing this up, which is surprising to me. You know, just before that Minnesota and Michigan Week 1 Big Ten game, it was reported that the Golden Gophers would be without multiple players for that opening game against the Wolverines. And they were without multiple players in that game. I mean, they were without, what, two starting offensive linemen, a starter at linebacker, backup defensive back. Also, they were missing both their starting punter and kicker, a return specialist. I mean, we're talking multiple key players at key positions. Starting right side of Minnesota offensive line, tackle Daniel Fael, he was gone. Guard Curtis Dunlap Jr., he wasn't available. Linebacker Braylon Oliver, reserve defensive back Philip Howard. And again, those aren't players. That's not taking into account the players that Minnesota was missing due to COVID. They had a lot of guys missing. Whereas when you compare it to Michigan, I mean, they weren't, I just say this, the cupboard wasn't bare, All right? They had their key players in that game. So you got to take that into account. You know, Minnesota right now putting that roster together with spit and duct tape. And, you know, and I've said this as well, due to, you know, and missing guys due to COVID, we're going to see this throughout the Big Ten season, because it was also, just a sidebar, it was also reported this week that, Nebraska's game that was scheduled for this weekend, that game is canceled. And that's due to COVID. Because Nebraska was set to play Wisconsin this Saturday. And, you know, Wisconsin, they've had an outbreak. And it's really, really bad with Wisconsin right now. You know, Wisconsin, they are down to like what? You know, their fourth string quarterback. Isn't that crazy? I mean, fourth string. Because, you know, Graham Mertz had tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. And, you know, he's required to sit out 21 days as per Big Ten protocol. And, you know, third string starting quarterback, Chase Wolf, he had reported, you know, that he had tested positive for COVID-19. It was reported that he tested positive for COVID-19. And four-string quarterback Danny Vatenboom was expected to be the player who starts against Nebraska, but that didn't happen. And then Nebraska tried to discuss an exemption request to allow play against, you know, the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. And Big Ten said, no, not happening. So the marriage with Nebraska and the Big Ten is just messy right now, right? And even worse, rather than simply, you know, obeying the rules or just even asking for permission in the first place, if you remember, Nebraska had gone out and negotiated a potential deal with Chattanooga. They just went and said, hey, guys, yeah, we haven't talked to the Big Ten yet, but you guys want to play? Then they went to the league and basically, you know, made the president say no. So Nebraska just gutsy right now. But sidebar, that's just a sidebar of what's happening in the Big Ten. So you won't see Nebraska and Wisconsin play this weekend. So Wisconsin dealing with a little outbreak, and we'll continue to see this because, you know, this pandemic is getting worse and worse right now. And, you know, we saw over 80,000 cases in one day on Thursday, which was the largest daily positive case reporting that we've seen throughout the pandemic this year. But back to my point, Michigan played a Minnesota team that had a lot of key pieces missing, and they took advantage of it. All right. So how do you beat them? You know, don't be in awe, first off, of what they did in game one. First year starting quarterback, Joe Milton. Yo, he's good. I must say, I like what I'm seeing from him. He's got a cannon for an arm. If you want to beat Michigan and want to contain Joe Milton, what you got to do is get him off his spot, force him to throw into some tight windows. You got to put some pressure on him. You just do. And Michigan does keep opponents guessing. They mix their air and ground attack effectively. They ran for 256. Threw for 225. Pretty good. Michigan State's defense has to be sharp. Senior defensive lineman Jacob Panishuk, Naquan Jones, they got to play at a high level. Antoine Simmons, Xavier Henderson, they're reliable, steady players. MSU's back seven, that group of linebackers and defensive backs, you got to fill gaps. And make sure that every receiver is blanketed, and you cannot have communication problems like we did see in game one against Rutgers. Good thing is you don't have to deal with the big house crowd. You know, those big lights there, You know, even though the game is an afternoon, so the lights won't be on. But you get what I'm saying. The big atmosphere, that is the Big House. It kind of makes every game, it takes away home field advantage for every single game. So you don't have to deal with the crowd. It's just you and the game of football. But in order to slow down Joe Milton, you got to bring pressure. You got to get him to throw off of his spot. That's going to be key. Turnovers. Just take care of the football. You can't give Michigan gimmies like you gave Rutgers seven times over. You know, it was remarkable that, you know, Michigan State at turnover number three or four, they were still in the game. Still in the game. That's not going to happen. If you do that against Michigan, they may put 70 on you. I mean, if you have like five fumbles, if you throw two picks against Michigan, they will make you pay. Simple as that. You know, and if you don't believe me, look at what Minnesota did. You know, they more than doubled Minnesota's point total on only a couple of giveaways by the Golden Gophers. So if you give them seven, I mean, seven turnovers, that's like, that's so odd. That's an anomaly. That does not happen every week. Knock on wood. I should knock on wood after I say that, right? Take care of the football, though. You know, the good news is that fumbling issues can be corrected to a certain extent. You know, better awareness in traffic. Wrap up the football. Just cover it up. Little things like that. And Mel Tucker, of course, you know, he stated that he's making that a big emphasis this week in preparation. You know, and then, you know, Rocky Lombardi, again, I mentioned those communication issues. You know, there can't be any botch routes against that Michigan defense. What Dan Brown likes to do is he brings a ton of pressure. And we saw the pressure that Rutgers was able to bring on Rocky Lombardi. You know, those missed blocking assignments from the running backs and, you know, Rocky not seeing a defender come and knock the ball out of his hands and that sort of thing. You got to be more aware of that. And one thing about Michigan State, this could give you Spartan fans hope out there, Spartan fans like me as well, is when Don Brown brings that pressure. And it's tricky because Don Brown is, you know, I don't want to say that Michigan is a one-trick pony, but this is what they do. They bring a ton of pressure. That's what Don Brown does. You know it's coming. But he brings it from so many different angles, it makes it difficult to read it. But you know he's going to bring it 9 times out of 10. Rocky Lombardi has to get the ball out of his hands quickly and into his playmakers so that you can have a guy like, you know, Jaden Reed, Jalen Naylor. You know, playmakers. You know, put your running back out in the flat. You know, Hayward, Simmons, Trey Mosley. They got guys who can create things and do something special in the open field. When that pressure comes, get it out your hand, and whoever that playmaker is matched up with one-on-one, burn them. That's what you got to hope. That's what you got to aim for, I should say. But take care of the football. And another thing too, you know, going back to the run game, it always starts with it, because you want a balanced offense. If you don't have a balanced offense, it is hard to beat anyone. But if somehow Michigan State can get a push, control the time of possession, milk that clock, the least amount of time that you can give the football over to the Michigan offense, the better. But you can only do that if you get something going on the ground. You know, Jordan Simmons, you know, he was solid. You know, I thought he was, you know, he was the better of the three backs. Connor Hayward and Elijah Collins, I just didn't see much from them, you know, and those are the two players, Hayward and Collins, those were the two that just had very bad pass protection. But again, it's hard for anybody, any one of those three to do anything if you don't have any push. And Michigan has a dangerous offense, you know. Dangerous, you know, looking at that offense, looking at the defense as well. You know, Jay Johnson has to call really a great game to make sure that he keeps the football out of that Michigan offense's hands. So controlling the clock would be great, but that's easier said than done. All of this is easier said than done right now. But I just want to harp on those things. Again, if you can find a way, you know, to get a touchdown here and there, a quick one, you know, when, if you see some pressure coming your way, Rocky, get the ball out quick. And if a playmaker makes a big play or two or three or four or five, and you can get points up that way, you can win the game. Or you can at least make it competitive. If your defense can get some pressure on Joe Milton and cause him to throw some wacky throws and maybe get a turnover or three or four or five or six, you can make this thing competitive and possibly win the game. And if your rushing attack can get going to put some pressure off of the arm of Rocky Lombardi, you got a chance. Those are the three big things. But again, I say again, easier said than done. But I just, something in me tells me that 24, I don't think Michigan is going to cover 24. That'll be wild. I will be very, very surprised. Very surprised. In the end, I say all that to say that I do believe Michigan is going to win. I'm going to go with Michigan 31, Michigan State 21, 10-point victory for Michigan. Again, closer, much, much closer than that 24-point spread right now that Vegas has. And again, right now to the naked eye, you know, 38 points allowed to Rutgers looks downright awful. I am very curious to see, you know, what Rutgers does in game two as they play Indiana at home tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. So we'll see what happens. I'll tune into that game after, of course, the Michigan and Michigan State game goes off. But Spartan fans, how are you feeling right now, man? I mean, the rivalry. I mean, how much trash is being talked? I don't see a lot of trash being talked right now. No, in Twitterverse, in the Twitter sphere, I don't see a lot of trash being talked. You know, I haven't had a lot of Michigan fans. I usually get, you know, a call or a text from Michigan fans out there that I know, my, you know, buddies and fraternity brothers of mine that crossed at the University of Michigan. They usually hit me up. I'm not hearing that. Is it fun for them knowing that they may blow out Michigan State tomorrow? You know, Michigan fans out there listening, is it fun for you guys? You know, knowing that, yeah, you're going to put the smack down on Michigan State tomorrow? Or do you want to see a competitive game so that you can, you know, really get into it with that Michigan State friend in your life? I'm curious. Whereas, like, the year of COVID, like, just tempered down things so much that you're just like, I just want to check it out and see what happens. I don't know. I don't know how hot the trash talk is right now, how hot this rivalry is this year, because it's such a different year. But your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You probably want to call after the game on Saturday and give your thoughts on what happened, and we'll roll in those voicemails on Monday. I got a chance to talk with Ray from Indiana this morning, and, you know, he can't wait to, you know, he's got it down now. Ray has been calling and got a chance to finally connect with him, one of our favorite callers on the show. He's going to give his thoughts on what happens tomorrow afternoon. He's going to call over the weekend and get his thoughts come Monday's show. So you can call that number, 517-355-WKAR. Leave us a voicemail there. I'll roll it in on tomorrow's current sports, current sports. And weigh in on social media. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. tweet the show at WKAR News, and you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. But right now, I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I want to roll in. Let's take just a brief pause from the rivalry talk, and I want to roll in a bit of what Tom Izzo has to say about the upcoming Michigan State men's basketball season. He was made available to us media members via Zoom virtually yesterday. You'll hear from Coach Izzo in just a moment. You are listening to the Friday Rivalry Eve edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And hey, folks, college basketball is supposed to tip off in less than a month. And we still don't know who Michigan State's first opponent will be. And that's because the Spartans' schedule, like most other programs around D1, it remains under construction due to the pandemic. And it's incredibly frustrating. Tom Izzo doesn't like it. You know, it's pretty frustrating for so many people out there, Izzo included. So what I want to do right now, Tom was made available to us yesterday afternoon and spoke to us media members. Here's a bit of what Izzo had to say concerning the upcoming year for Michigan State men's basketball.
All right, guys, this is more fun. We can have some fun on this if we want. We got an off day, so this is great. But it's been a couple weeks since I talked to you, and you know, I tell you, it's still been strange. You know, I went to the football game this past weekend and tried to get an idea what it's going to be like for us. I look at our practices; they've been pretty good. I mean, I think pretty spirited. We're really trying to work on. We got to bring our own emotion and enthusiasm, and so. Every day I'm on our guys about picking it up, showing videos of the NBA and how those millionaires were still cheerleading on the sideline. I mean, we're going to have some of that. So we're trying to put in some of the protocol that we'll need. But practices have been pretty good. You know, we had a couple days where I didn't think guys were as into it. And I think because of everything we're going through, there's going to be a few ups and downs. But in general, pretty good. You know, we're adhering to all the new testing rules. We started testing last week, you know, every day, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, we're testing. That, too, is different. And then you have something happen like what happened at Wisconsin, and, you know, it throws up a lot of red flags on what's going to be and what can be. But we're just asking our guys to continue to be diligent in what they're doing. And we've done some things around here to try to get them over in this building more instead of laying in their apartments. I think that's not healthy for them. So we have spent a little more time on what we can do to help mentally keep these guys upbeat and not in a laissez-faire atmosphere and situation. So we're trying to do a better job of that. The scheduling, which you're all probably dying to hear about. I was on a Zoom call this morning with the Big Ten. We still don't know. Kevin Paulga, our guy here, has been working for not only the Big Ten, men's and women's, but half the country and trying to put together these schedules, and things are changing every day. We're hoping in the next few days we're going to have it pretty much locked down, but it could be one of those schedules that's changing as we go, believe it or not, other than the conference games. We just want to do everything we can do to get a full season in. And a full season now is 27 games instead of 31. But that's not a big deal. The biggest deal is to make sure we keep everybody safe and healthy. If we've learned anything the last 8 months, you know, we've got to stay flexible. I mean, I saw where the NBA is even talking about having a one-month-at-a-time schedule. so they can adjust and adapt to different situations. A little harder for us when you got final exams, you got Christmas, you got different things. But I do think we've had a chance to learn from football, the positives, the negatives that they went through. And we talk twice a week as a Big Ten staff. All 14 coaches are on the Zoom call. I think it's done a lot for all of us. We've kind of brought some camaraderie together, some togetherness. We've spent the last couple of days trying to educate our players. Everybody got registered to vote, so that was a big thing. You know, for the most part, we did get absentee ballots because we just don't want our kids interacting with a lot of people at the polls, even though I would have liked to have had them out there because I think it would have been good for them. But so we've done that. And the last thing I'll talk about before I open it up is, so who's been playing good, who's not? I mean, I think we've had a really good 2 weeks out of an Aaron Henry and Joey Hauser. Those two guys, Gabe Brown has been really, really, those guys really good. Foster Lawyer has been really picked up his game. Rocket Watts, we're moving him a couple different positions. And then inside, you know, we've got a lot of guys that are playing pretty equally, you know, whether it be Bingham, whether it be Julius Marble. Mati Sissoko is coming. He's going to be a beast someday. He's coming right now. He's just trying to both learn all the language and all the references and figure out how to quit following. They're already starting to call him Al Anaganya. So I don't go very close to him in practice, because he's wailing all over, and he's a very aggressive kid. And, you know, Thomas Kithier has had, he might be one of the other ones that's had a great 2 weeks here in the last, since practice started. So, sounds like pretty positive in a lot of ways, but a lot of work to do. But I have been pleased with the focus, attention to detail, the fact that they're trying to fight through some things, because there's some days that are, I mean, I commend myself, you know, it's just different as you guys do in your own occupation. You know, it's not easy. I guess you guys do spend a lot of time out of your homes, but that's not the norm for coaches. And it's definitely not the norm for college students. And that's been an adjustment, to say the least. But I'll open up some questions so that you can ask me what you want to hear about instead of the stuff I'm telling you about.
I want to ask you about scheduling a little bit. I don't know how many specifics you can go into, but just with the number of games you lost with the Orlando going off the table, what are kind of your options for filling those games with the Oakton MPE or just to buy games in? What are kind of the options you have?
Yeah, we're working with a Notre Dame. We're working with some other MTEs. There's a big question of whether, you know, you can play in an MTE right now. The Big Ten, just because of the testing procedures and that of some of them, those are some of the question marks out there. We are trying to look at, can we schedule a few more games semi-locally, which around here would be Eastern, Western, Central, Oakland, Notre Dame, you know, teams that are in a couple-hour radius of here, so that you can travel by bus, and both for cost reasons and for, you know, not having to fly as much. But the loss of Orlando doesn't totally affect us. I mean, we're still, looks like we're still going to play the Duke game somewhere. I'm not sure where yet.
All right, again, head coach Tom Izzo weighing in on the wacky schedule that is still under construction due to the pandemic. We still don't know who Michigan State men's basketball will play in game one. Only time will tell. The NCAA, they pushed back the season to open with a November 25th start date. So, yeah. Very interesting storylines here. We'll talk more Spartan hoops next week. But I want to hit our final break. I'll give you my final thoughts on the Rivalry Eve edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Michigan State and Michigan tomorrow afternoon in Ann Arbor. We'll be right back, folks. You are listening to the Friday edition of Current Sports. Folks, final thoughts as we usher you guys into the weekend. Of course, the big game, the big noon kickoff game, Michigan State and Michigan on Fox tomorrow. You heard my thoughts and predictions to start the show, and I think Michigan State is going to fall in this one, but it's going to be closer than many people expect. I think Michigan State will lose by 10. I went 31-21 my final, and Michigan takes the victory there. A wild week, too. Of Big Ten, though. Big Ten football play, I should say. Because, we already lost one game with Wisconsin and Nebraska. You know, code red there due to COVID. And right now, I'm also reading that Purdue, Illinois is now in danger as well. I saw this tweeted last night that COVID has hit the Illinois football team after clean results. Earlier in the week, multiple positive tests yesterday. No update yet on Saturday's game against Purdue, but expect more info tomorrow. This is coming from at Illini Pulse Rye. So the Illini Pulse Ryan Evan tweeted this out. So and let me see here. If I can do a quick Google, Purdue, Illinois. That game is still on, and that's going to be a noon kickoff. Still on, but yeah, there is an outbreak for Illinois football. So, but today you've got Maryland and Minnesota. That's going to be a 7:30 p.m. kickoff tonight on ESPN. You've got Indiana, Rutgers, as I mentioned, Northwestern, Iowa, Ohio State, and Penn State. That's the big one between the big dogs, right? Number 3 versus number 18. So some good games there heading into week 2 of Big Ten play. But, yeah, we'll see what happens, man. You know, we're going to recap all things Big Ten football on Monday. We're going to recap very, very – detailed, a very, very detailed recap like we always do the Monday after the big game between Michigan State and Michigan on the gridiron on Monday's Current Sports. So you don't want to miss any of that. And also throughout the weekend, if you're locked in to WKAR, I'll also be providing updates on the radio. I'll have a full wrap of the game for you guys on our website at WKAR.org. I'll tweet that out as well, so make sure you're following me at Al Martin, WKAR. But if you're listening on the radio to WKAR on 90.5 FM, I'll also be having some updates after Michigan State and Michigan play. So listen throughout the weekend as well, all right? But with that, I bid you all adieu. Also on Saturday night, I want to say this, two shout-outs. One, happy Halloween to all of you guys, because tomorrow is Halloween. So those who celebrate Halloween, have fun. Be safe, though. Pretty easy to wear a mask, right? You know, Halloween are all about, you know, Halloween is all about wearing a mask, right? So, hey, yeah, that's pretty easy. But happy Halloween to you guys. Also, a big, big birthday shout out to my brother from another mother, Brandon. His birthday is tomorrow. It's you know, his birthday is on Halloween. So happy early birthday to him. And yeah, just two shout outs there. And also, I had actually three shout outs. For my fight fans out there, remember that Gervonta Davis will be taking on Leo Santa Cruz tomorrow night. Pay-per-view fight. You know, Gervonta Davis has a loss of fight. He's 23-0. Leo Santa Cruz has only lost one fight. And he's also had a draw as well. He's 37-1-1, but this is going to be a very, very big fight on Showtime pay-per-view. I'll also touch upon that on Monday's Current Sports as well. All right? So enjoy your weekend. Be smart. Be safe. And as always, be easy, people.